But let's read John 3:16 and 17. And then what God told me, at least until he tells me to stop, after I read John 3:16 and 17, to read John 13, verses 34 and 35 in the Amplified Bible. But John 3, verse 16 and 17, let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In John 13, verses 34 and 35 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give to you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And listen to this. If you keep on showing love among yourselves. See, so love is not a one and done situation. And I think that's why he prompted me to read it in the Amplified. We have to keep on showing love among ourselves. Why? So when people see ourselves, they see love. The basic characteristic of our Father. And we were put here to display his characteristics. Now, look at Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 16. Very, very familiar passage to most of us. Let's read verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He says to them, But whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Message Bible says, We are a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep us out. The Amplified Bible says, I will build my church in the gates of Hades. The power of the infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. And the New Living Bible says about us, the church, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Simple. Simple. These scriptures are talking about the church, right? And who's the church? So the scripture's talking about us. Us. So we have to understand that we are the church that Jesus is talking about. So when he said, all the powers of hell shall not conquer it, he was talking about us. So why are we getting beaten up by the powers of hell? Since Jesus said, all the powers of hell shall not conquer us. Shall not. Didn't say they wouldn't engage us, but it said it will not conquer us. It's different. Just because you're in a fight doesn't mean you lose. It means you're in a fight. And we love winning fights. We love that. But how can you tell me how you can win a fight without being in a fight? I haven't figured that one out yet. You know, every fight I've won, I was in. Jesus gave us some instructions. We read one, you know, in John 13. Okay, let's look at Mark 16. And then we're going to look at Matthew 28. You know, and so I'm saying, well, you know, I know this. We've heard it. I know you have. Please follow along. I'm going to share it in the Amplified. And he, being Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly, say openly, the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. How many creatures? Every creature. Even the ones that act like they don't want to hear. The only question we have is, do they fit the category of every creature of the human race? Yes. And I've been instructed to preach and publish openly, openly, the good news, the gospel. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel and him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel and him whom it sets forth will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. What did it say the signs would do? Did it say might? What did it say? They will. Jesus said, you preach the gospel, these signs will accompany. They will pick up in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. If they pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. Simple. Simple. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. Why? Because his job was finished. It was done. And he sat down at the right hand of God. Sat down. Why? Again, it was done. There was nothing else to do. Nothing else to say. So they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere. The Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Closely. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. This is the Message Bible's translation. This is Matthew's account of the same occurrence. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. You could say, they had some concerns about totally risking themselves. Well, see, the first thing we need to understand, and we often mistakenly say, you know, well, I know it's God, so I'll take the risk. That's a statement of disbelief or unbelief. Because if it's God, what's the risk? I know it's God, so I'll take the 50-50 chance. No. Because if it's a risk, then maybe it's God, and then again, maybe it's not. So if you really believe it's God, what's the risk? And if you're thinking risk, you're thinking doubt. If you're thinking doubt, you're not in faith, and you'll talk yourself out of it. Because you'll start thinking about the risk and not the assignment. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. Everything that he's commanded us, we're supposed to command them. We're supposed to teach them to do everything he told us to do. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now, I know we have, you know, different translations among the congregation. Someone share with me where it said, where Jesus put any condition on that. Tell me where he said, unless. Tell me where he said, this is what I want you to do most of the time, but I understand that things are going to come up and it's going to prevent you from doing what I said. Don't worry about it. When did he say that? He didn't. Why not? Don't things come up? Who said no? Nothing ever comes up? Yeah. Things come up. But Jesus didn't say, look, I know I'm all powerful and all that stuff, and it's all good. But there are going to be some things you're just flat out not going to be able to do. It's okay. I'll find someone else to do it. He didn't say that. He said, this is what you do. Period. I'm with you. He had the Apostle Paul to tell us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So since that's true, what should be stopping us? Nothing. What should be preventing us from living the life the way God designed? Nothing. What could cause us to be less than the perfect examples God created us to be? Nothing. Nothing. We were already given dominion over everything. Psalm 8, verse 6. I've given him dominion over the works of my hand. Is there anything that we encounter that God's hand didn't make? So we have dominion. He gave it to us. So since we have been given dominion, why are we giving in to being dominated? You need to think about that. Why aren't we doing what we were commissioned to do? Since everything that we need was already given to us. Well, on January 6th, it was a Friday, I had prayer service out at the village. And, you know, we never like to come into prayer service, you know, with nothing, with no plan, if you will. And we always wait to hear. And I was looking at the clock, and well, first of all, driving up, I was getting nothing. Not nothing, nothing. Nothing. Okay, that's what I was getting. And I didn't panic. I'm like, that's okay, God. You'll tell me, you know, in time. 7:18, 7:22, nothing. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going to create anything. I'm not going to think, okay, now what can we pray about or what can I talk to the people about? Come on now, it's got to be something good. It's got to get through. Nothing. Nothing. I went into the speaker's lounge and said, well, if I'm not going to get anything, I might as well get anything comfortably. I went to the speaker's lounge and I'm walking by and, you know, we have books and things on the table. Then these Horizons Unlimited. And I heard, pick up that Horizons. And so I said, well, you know, okay, you know, you do know service starts in about 6 minutes, you know. And I picked it up, and he said, open it. And so I opened it. I'm like, okay, accepted and proven. It's like you want to go and, you don't, you know, but you want to do that. And he said, I didn't say read that one. Flip through, so I'm flipping through. I'm like, he said, to the end. And I'm like, why did you just say that? You know, not really, he does to me what I do to other folks. You know. And on August 31st, it said here, spiritual audacity. I didn't see in divine confidence. I just saw spiritual audacity. And I was like, oh my God. And he spent that next 6 minutes telling me things about it. And we talked for over an hour. As a matter of fact, we didn't get into praying. We talked about this that Friday because that's what God wanted. He wants us to have spiritual audacity because that's what it's going to take to do what He has called us to do. If we don't have the audacity to believe God, we won't move. We won't. And, you know, you won't find the word audacity in the Bible, so I couldn't look it up in a concordance. But in the dictionary, it means boldness or daring. Listen to this. Especially with confident or arrogant disregard for personal safety. For personal safety. See, David was arrogant. David had the audacity to go out and face Goliath. When the entire nation of Israel said, we can't do anything against this man. The entire nation of Israel and all their high priests, all these folks that knew God and spoke to God, didn't have the audacity to face Goliath. As a matter of fact, and someone help me out, I don't recall anyone saying, let's talk to God about Goliath. They just saw Goliath, focused on his accomplishments, and just knew they had no chance. Period. But David had shameless boldness. It's audacity. See, when one has audacity, they're extremely bold, extremely daring. They don't have any restrictions. They don't care. They're going to do what they think they should do, or even if they think they shouldn't do it and they want to do it, they're going to do it anyway. When we look at it, you have the audacity to say that to me? Yes. I said it, didn't I? You know? But that's what's missing. See, that's why, you know, a scripture that says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. See, a drunk person has the audacity to do whatever that spirit that's within him tells him to do. And they don't care how they look. They don't care how they smell. They don't care what you think about them. If that spirit tells them to do something, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. But see, that's why God needs us filled with the Holy Ghost. So we'll have the audacity to do whatever the spirit that's within us tells us to do. And we'll do it without reservation, consultation, or hesitation. We'll just do it. What sense does it make? Because I could be wrong. I doubt it in this case, but I could be. What sense does it make to say to someone, if I come to you, brother, and I say, you know what? I know God told me to do thus and so, but I need to get your take on it. First of all, why am I exalting that person above God? But we'll consult. Paul said, when I heard, I conferred not with flesh and blood. But just think about that. I know God told me this, but I want to bounce it off you. And then we have the nerve to tell the person what we think. See, we have the audacity to tell, and sometimes we'll tell them things that's contrary to what God told them. Contrary. See, we're in meetings with folks, and sometimes they'll say things, and you know, in our minds, we're like, they as far away from God as the East is from the West. But I'm not going to tell you, you didn't hear from God. I'm not going to tell you that. Just be willing to be mistaken. And get that's all. That's because I don't know God to work a certain way doesn't mean that he won't. You know, unless, of course, it's, you know, something that's immoral or something, and you can't convince me that God's going to tell you to do that. You know, you'll never, ever, write this down if you want to, you'll never, ever convince any of us that God told you to go after someone else's husband or wife. Okay. Now, you could get me to believe that a God told you. Okay. But not the God. Okay. You get to please, you can have the audacity to tell me that. I'll have the audacity to straighten you out. That, okay. But we have to understand that if we believe what God said, then we have to have the audacity to do what he said, regardless of what anybody else thinks about it. It will defy human logic. Well, God's going to work signs and wonders through us. If it doesn't defy human logic, folks won't wonder about it. You know, if it makes sense to them, it's, oh, I can figure that out. What do I need God? God's going to cause us to do things and say things that people are going to think, hey, they have to be motivated by God. They're going to say that? To be knowing what could happen to them? They're going to say it anyway? I told you many stories about Miss Ruby. She had the audacity to believe that she could take care of me. And she didn't care who you were. I told folks at her memorial service, one of her part-time jobs was training female grizzly bears how to take care of their young. Because she knew how to do it. Okay. But see, when you have to have the audacity to go with the prompting from the Spirit that's within you. Now, hopefully it's the Holy Spirit. That's why God said, be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to have arrogant disregard for personal safety. Why? Because he will take care of us. If I don't have arrogant disregard for my personal safety, I'm going to try and take care of me. And I was never designed to take care of me. I was designed for God to take care of me, and so are you. So when we make choice, we try and take care of ourselves. How many of you are very successful at taking care of yourself? Okay. I mean, because God wouldn't, why would we need God? I looked up some different words. Assured, another word for audacity. Honest, bodacious. I like that word. We have to be bodacious, okay? Bold, brassy. And here's a word that the Christians shy away from. Cocky. Cocky. I'm cocky enough to believe God will do exactly what he said concerning me. So yes, I'll get in your face. And I expect that nothing will happen to me. I mean, that's just the way it is. Why? Because God said. He said. And if I can't trust in what he said, I'm in trouble anyway. So why not jump out there? Because God said. I believe it. Confident. I like this one. Cool hand. See, when you have the audacity to believe God, you're cool. No matter what comes. You're like, oh my God, oh, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to call. You know, where are my prayer warriors? Whoa, where's your mouth? Where are the words coming out of your mouth after what God said? You know, that's what it has to be. You have the audacity to stand there in the face of the adversity and speak out what God said. Confidently. Not hiding. Standing right in front. See, it's just like what Joe Lewis said. See, we can run, but we can't hide. It's going wherever you go. The stuff that's been assigned to try and get you will find you. And as you're running, it's picking up steam. It is, because you're demonstrating you're afraid of it. So you've already given up 75% of the fight because you're afraid of it, and it knows that. So it's, oh boy, I just need to talk a little bit louder, and I got him. courageous, daring, dashing, dauntless, gallant. If you have audacity, you're gallant. I used to say gallant. Gritty, gutsy, heroic, indomitable. Indomitable. Your attitude is nothing is going to dominate me except my obedience to God's Spirit within me. Period. Period. Lion-hearted. Nervy. Sassy. When you're audacious, you're sassy. And it's okay. Because you're letting that thing know, I know who I am. And just because you may not have the full understanding, that's not my problem. But I need to give you this disclaimer as such. You keep messing with me, you're going to get the full understanding as to whose I am. I would tell folks, you don't know who I am. I'm Miss Ruby, son. You keep messing with me, you're going to find out more than you want to know about Miss Ruby. So I suggest there are a whole lot of other people out there, you may want to go bother them. Leave me alone. And folks left me alone because I didn't care who it was. I believed Mommy when she said, son, I'll take care of you. To the point, young people, I'm a high school senior, and I've told you this. High school senior, 6'4 and a half, 225 pounds. Back in 1969, when people were, they were like 170 pounds. And I tell them, I can't do that. Why not? Mommy said, come home. High school senior. And they did just what folks do. Oh, Mommy said, don't come home. And I said, yeah, Mommy said, come home. And what's going to happen if you don't come home? I don't want to find out. So I'm going home. And they'd get in my face. Oh, you always do what Mommy said? Yeah. Oh, you a mama's boy? Yeah. I am. And it's like, you best get back out of my face. I did. I mean, not what group. And I'd step right up to them. I didn't back away. I'd step right up. Let me tell you something. On my worst day, if we fight, I have a 50-50 chance of winning, but I happen to feel very good today. I said, but if we fight and you win, Mommy will come and get you. Okay? And I left and went home. I had the audacity as a 17-year-old to say, Mommy said, come home. And if anyone had a problem with it, I let them know what Mommy will do. Not might do, will do. And I just flat out did not care. I didn't. Now I'm in Christ. And I realize God is much more powerful than Mommy. Why wouldn't I have the same attitude with Him? And I hadn't. I would start looking at things. And sometimes I'd feel like calling, Mommy, help. You know. Spunky. Sure. Unflinching. That means nothing frightens you. Nothing. You have the audacity, have to have the audacity to not ever be afraid. And folks, you're going to hear some things that, you know, to a lesser person would be frightening. Would be frightening. I mean, you'll have a pain in your stomach. And you've been speaking to it and speaking to it and speaking to it, and years have passed. And you say, you know, let me go get it checked out. And a doctor's going to look you in the face and say, I'm sorry. That's stage 4 cancer. And you're like, oh my God. What am I going to do? You have the audacity to stand there and speak to it. And speak to it. Or are we going to fold up and collapse? No, we have to have the audacity to believe that everything that God said is yea and amen, and then follow it up with action. Because the action is really what displays who we believe we are, not our words. It's our action. If it were just words, no one would ever test you. Because you tell them, they'd leave, I'm going to leave you alone. But you've told folks you're in Christ. Do they still bother you? Because they want to see. The enemy is going to, let's see if they really mean this thing or if it's just words. And too many times, it's just been words. And God doesn't want that. He wants it to be action. But he wants it to be action based on our belief in what he said. That's who he designed us to be. See, we really get on our brother Peter. You know, Peter had foot and mouth disease and, you know, all these things we say about Peter. But what we fail to realize is when Peter was making all of those choices, he was lacking something. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't. So it was impossible for him to have the audacity to stand. He hadn't been endued with power from on high. So yes, he denied Christ three times. Yeah, he did. He didn't have a choice. He really didn't. He didn't understand who he was. He didn't have that shameless boldness. He didn't have an arrogant disregard for his personal safety. He didn't know he could. He was thinking what some of us think now. How could I serve the Lord if I'm dead? Okay. So let me do what I have to do to get through this. God understands. Show me where it says, it's okay, I'll understand if you don't do what I say. It'll be well with you. You don't have to worry about a thing. My grace is still sufficient, and it is. But the enemy, eventually he'll get it and just leave you alone, so you don't have to do anything. No, he said, whatever you desire, when you pray, have the audacity to believe that you receive. We don't. Why? Because you know what folks say about, you know, that to name it and claim it, and, you know, we let all the negative things that have happened stop us from doing what God said. Just because someone has perverted the truth doesn't mean we're supposed to stop operating in truth. I mean, hey, I don't care what people say about marriage, I'm staying married. Doesn't matter to me that 31% of Christians get divorced. That doesn't mean the whole institution of marriage should be scrapped. No, it means those of us that are married in Christ need to live out a Christian marriage as defined by God, doing what Jesus said each member should do as the husband and as the wife, and be an example that this is how marriages can operate when it's Christ-centered. And that divorce rate will start to dwindle. But we'll look at something and say, well, hey, this seems to be the trend, so we don't need to get involved. Yes, you do. Because the question, it's not what does the trend say, it's what did God say? And do you have the audacity to believe what God said in spite of the direction that you see everyone else going? It doesn't matter. If God told me to go out of here and head east, and all of you went west, I'll see you. I'm going east. Well, why would God tell all of them to go west and you to go east? I don't know. Ask him. He told me east. Guess where I'm going? East. Period. But what if there was a flood down there? God knew that when he told me to go east. And if he told me to go and he knew it was a flood there, he must have provisions for me. Either way, I'm going. Because that's what he said. Those are the type of choices that he expects us to make. Look at Acts 3. I started reading this account in that light. and start understanding just what the early church had to face. You know, Peter and they mind their own business. They go into the temple. They see a lame man there. He wants money. They have something that's more valuable than money, so they give it to him. He gets healed. You would think the people would rejoice, but they didn't. And that amazed me. And they were very upset. And we get down, you know, and they wanted to know, well, you know, what did you do? How did this man get healed? And Peter said, it was his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Now, this is the same Peter that said, were you with him? No, don't even know the man. How did this man get healed? Through the name of Jesus Christ and my faith in that name. There's some people that didn't want to hear that. These are the same people that killed Jesus. And he's saying, I have faith in his name. And that's what made this brother here whole. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He said, I did this right in your face. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Then he says to them, repent. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, they didn't like that. They didn't like it at all. And in verse 4, it says they laid their hands on them and threw them into prison. Why? For doing what God said. For following the instructions that Jesus gave them, they wound up being thrown in prison. They were kept overnight. And we'll pick up at verse 5 in chapter 4. Well, go up to verse 4. Because they had the audacity to do what Jesus commanded them to do and say what Jesus commanded them to say, 5,000 people got born again. 5,000. What would have happened to those people if they were unwilling? If they didn't have the audacity to stand in the face of the government and say, this is what Jesus said, this is what I did. Whoops, there it is. But that's what they did. Just what in their face. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, that's why I said the government, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that's a power struggle. They put them and surrounded them. Okay, that's a form of intimidation, folks. See, the enemy will often come and try and overwhelm you with stuff, so you become intimidated and shy away from who you are. That's the time to have the audacity to stand in front of it and walk up to it. Because hey, when you're surrounded, there's no place to hide anyway. So you walk right up to them and say, yeah, this is who I am. And? So you're telling me that in this man's name, this work was done? Yep. That's what I'm telling you. Deal with it. I mean, you just look at it and go, I don't know what you want me to say, Chief. I mean, they already said, hey, look, I can only say those things which I have seen and heard. I mean, I don't know. What do you expect from me? And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known to you all," look at this, "and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," yeah, you crucified him, but whom God raised from the dead, "even by him that this man stand here before you whole." And I'm sure the government was like, "What is the matter with these people?" Okay. Do they not know who we are? Do they not know what we can do to them? Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They said, these boys, they had to be with this guy Jesus. Had to be. Because, I mean, he was insolent like that with us. And now they come along, they're doing the same thing. They didn't know what to do with that kind of audacity. They didn't know because they weren't used to it. They actually expected, I believe, they actually expected that Peter and his guy, they would stand and they go, we don't know. I guess it was just luck. Hey, you know, it might have been just his time. We didn't have any money to give him, so he said, just be healed. And we're just trying to go to the temple, folks. We don't want to cause any trouble. That's what they expected. They didn't expect him to say, "In the name, let everybody know, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's why this man stands before you whole." They didn't know what to do with that. So they told everybody, "Get out. Okay, we have to talk about this." Verse 15. "So when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it.'" See, even the enemy will have to admit, "Yep, you did this thing. We don't know how, but yes, this happened. But that it spread no further." Let's think about that for a moment. On one breath, he said, "Everybody has seen this, but we can't take a chance of this going any further than that." Because they're thinking, okay, eventually we'll regain control of this group, but we can't let this thing spread any further. So what did they do? They threatened them. Well, that's what the government did. They threatened them. "Don't you preach or teach in this name." That's what they told them. As a matter of fact, they didn't just threaten them. It says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us strictly threaten them, that they speak hereafter to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Doesn't say they went there crying, "God, you tell me I can't talk about you at work." "Go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news of the gospel." And Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you or to God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Now these folks have, "Boy, now what do we do with this? We've already strictly threatened them. That didn't work. Okay, let's further threaten them." Okay. I don't know what else you could say. But in that, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing on how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for what they had done, and that's not what they wanted. They said, "No, if we hurt these folks, they'll become martyrs, and then we'll really be in trouble. So we'll just let them go and hope what we said to them took." Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. See, not one person said, we need to get out of this place. You know, let's pray that God get rid of these leaders. No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. You look at those scriptures, you'll see where they lifted up their voice and prayed to God, and they asked for something. They had the audacity, knowing that they were just told by the government, you will not teach or preach to anyone in this name ever. From this point, henceforth, forevermore, done. You don't do that. You get that, boy? We're not playing with you. Don't teach in that name. Father, we ask you. Behold their threatening, verse 29. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. But they didn't stop there. It's not enough that we just speak your word, Lord. We want the audacity to stretch forth our hands, and signs and wonders are done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. They never once said, God, get rid of these people. They're like, they do what they do, we gonna do what we do. We know who's going to win out. And God did something. God, find the scripture that said, and God gave them boldness. Raise your hand when you find it. Let you know a secret. You won't find it. It ain't there. Because God didn't give them boldness. God had one of his special earthquakes. Yeah, for reason I say special because it amazes me that he had an earthquake that shook a prison and no one else in the town felt it. Earthquake so powerful didn't even destroy the prison. All it did was make the doors come open and the shackles fall off. Okay. It says here, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Another one of those special earthquakes. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Why? Because they were endued with power from on high. What does endued mean? They were clothed with power from on high. And when you wear the power clothes, you can't help but speak boldly. Because you're dressed for it. See, we have been taking that clothing and treating it as if it were the emperor's new clothes. See, nobody can see it. It's just a figment of my imagination. No, folks, it be real. Real. And we have to understand that it's real. And have the audacity to let everybody see we wearing it. And this is what I can do when I'm clothed by power from on high. I speak the word of God with boldness. I have the audacity to get in your face and tell you what God said. I have the audacity to walk around like I'm healthy because God said so. I'm not moved by any economic downturn, upturn, side turn. Doesn't matter. My father told me, give, and it shall be given again. So I don't care what the prediction is, what he tells me to give, I have the audacity to give it. Period. But you're not working. He didn't say give if you have a job. He didn't say that. He said, give, and it shall be given again. And he didn't say you'd get little scraps and stuff back. He said, good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And have the audacity to prove me. That's what he's saying. Have the audacity to prove me now. And see, watch me throw open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to contain. But I'm not done there. I'm going to do something else for you. Because you have the audacity to believe me, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Period. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, and he will not remove you from that job before I say it's time for you to go. Okay? Do you have the audacity to believe that? See, that's why we need it. And we've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So we have to start acting like it. Why? Because Father said so. And I have the audacity. I have, as my mother used to say, I have the unmitigated gall. Okay. I don't know what kind of gall that is. But whatever it is, I did something, and I did it because I had the unmitigated gall. I did it. Yeah, yes, I've done things knowing what was going to happen when she found out. I had the audacity to do it anyway. Why? I didn't care. But something about verse 31 in John 4 we need to understand. Because too many times, well, I'll say it this way, because this is the way I'm directed to say it. When situations come, we will immediately pray. The problem is how we're praying. We're not praying like we have the audacity to believe God. We're not. We'll say, Father, I need your help. You heard what they said. I'm just trying to do what you told me. And I keep being persecuted for the word's sake. And that ain't right, Lord. I'm your servant. You're supposed to be my father. Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm trying to do what you say. I could see Father up there. I'm like, I'm God and I love him. I'm God and I love him. Oh, I got to pour my grace out on him. You know. See, if God were my mom, he'd send us to the mulberry tree to pick a switch. Or do we stand there and say, Father, you heard what they said, but I know what you told me to do. And I'm going on to do what you told me to do regardless of what they said, and I expect that if you check me out, and if you find out I'm lacking anything, give it to me because I think I'm ready to go right now, and I'm going. But I know I'm going in your strength. Thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. Thank you that I hear you clearly. Thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we going. And the reason I say we, Father, because you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And Jesus said that as I go, he'll be with me day after day after day, right up to the very end of this age. So I'm going. And I go. See, both are prayers. One is of unbelief. We're complaining and we're murmuring. We're not speaking words of victory because that's who we are. We are victorious people, and we just have to act like it. That's all. I found out, why do you think bullies are successful? They make you think that they all that. I mean, that's why I like that movie, The Christmas Story. But I like it when the bully gets his. That one. But that's what bullies do. They talk a big talk. And the minute you step up, yeah, you may have to take a hit. That's okay. I took a hit. I did. I'm going to tell them, God, look, You need to get out of my face. You don't know who I am. Punch me in the jaw. And it hurt. Finally, let them know it. I look at him and say, that's all you can do. It's like, my turn. I mean, and you know what? They start doing this. I'm like, where are you going? Come on back. You know, I saw this snippet of this minister. And I mean, I just laughed when I saw it. We have to have the audacity to act like we did it. And by that I mean, you know, the enemy comes and you pray the right way and God comes through and God drives that thing away. We need to run after it. And don't come back here either. All right, I got some more for you. Okay. That's what we have the audacity. Just run at. Yeah, you come on. What are you running for? Come on. You know, come on. I got some alley shuffle for you there, kid. Come on. You know. But do we have the audacity to take that attitude? If we know who we are in Christ, we will. If we know who we are in Christ, we will. I'm not going to finish today. So we're going to have to finish on Wednesday. But when you think about boldness, daring, especially with confident or arrogant disregard for personal safety, disregard for conventional thought, disregard for any restrictions, shameless boldness, extremely bold, extremely daring, recklessly brave, fearless, defiance of convention, propriety, law, or the like, insolent, brazen. They're not bad characteristics. They're the characteristics we should be displaying as a believer because we trust God, period. And we believe that God is God, and He always will be God. And we need to be just as excited and just as sure whether we're singing it in praise and worship or walking it out. Because I'm telling you, it's more effective walking it out than singing about it. Yes, singing about it will build you up. But if you don't act on it, when you read about that account of David and Goliath, or no, even more specifically, you read the account of the Israeli army and Goliath. Bible says that they were preparing for battle. They were doing their war cries. They were working themselves up. Then Goliath stepped out. I mean, that's like, you know, we're in football season. I mean, I don't expect the New York Giants to walk out on that football field today. And Aaron Rodgers steps out of the locker room, they go running back into theirs. They got Aaron Rodgers. Let me get back out of here. No. No. But that's what the Israeli army did concerning Goliath. So, yeah, it's one we could walk around and we could whoop it up and all that stuff. You just assume you conserve your energy. And don't say anything before him. What do we have to do? I already have everything that I need. What's that, Pastor? Belief. Belief. I believe that God will do for me and through me exactly what He said. Period. Period. Now, remember when I started out, that God said this stuff that we've just been tolerating? We've been tolerating it too long? I have a question for you. Do you have the audacity to receive your healing? Do you have think about what the doctors have said to you. Think about the warnings they have given you. Do you have the audacity to believe what God has said concerning you?